This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on Thursday, November 6th, 2014. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
Starting this morning, the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission for Thursday, November 6, 2014, will now come to order. Madam Vice Chair, I believe we have a late submitted document.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I move to suspend the rules on the timely submission of agenda documents in order to consider the late submission of agenda document number 14-58-A, Draft 8, Berkadia.
Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, motion passes 6-0. The first item on today's agenda is correction and approval of the minutes for October 23, 2014. Madam Vice Chair.
I move to adopt agenda document number 14-56-A, minutes for the open session held on October 23, 2014.
Any discussion or correction to the minutes? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes by a vote of 6-0. Okay, the second item on the today's agenda is advisory opinion 2014-17, Berkadia Commercial Mortgage LLC. And Nevin Stepanovich is going to present today. Nevin, you're going to take care of these? Okay. And Bob Knopp. Bob, I see you. Thank you. From the Office of General Counsel. And I believe we have counsel for the requesters, Josh James from Bryan K. Mr. James, I'm not sure if we have any questions, but we always want you to be here. If you'd come up to the table, commissioners may have questions, or this may go more blithely than that. Thank you for your submission. It was well put together, and it helped us along. Thank you.
Happy to hear it. Thank you.
Okay, Nevin, Mr. Stepanovich, do you want to make a presentation?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Commissioners. Agenda document 14-58-A, response to a request for advisory opinion filed on behalf of Berkadia Commercial Mortgage LLC. Berkadia is a limited liability company wholly owned by two corporations that has elected to be treated as a partnership for federal tax purposes. It is a member of several trade associations and asks whether it may authorize any of them to solicit Berkadia's executive and administrative personnel. The draft before you concludes that it may. The Commission's regulations governing trade association solicitations do not squarely address solicitations of partnerships that are wholly owned by corporations. In general, these solicitation regulations are designed to permit a trade association to solicit either its members, if the members are unincorporated, or its members' executive and administrative personnel, if the members are incorporated. As the Commission has done in analogous situations involving partnerships that support separate segregated funds, the draft analyzes the regulations in a manner that would avoid prohibiting Berkadia both from making contributions and from having its executive and administrative personnel solicited for contributions to a trade association's separate segregated fund. So the draft interprets the regulations as allowing a trade association's separate segregated fund to solicit the executive and administrative personnel of partnerships and LLCs that, like Berkadia, are wholly owned and affiliated with corporations. The Commission received no comments on the advisory opinion request or the draft, and should the Commission approve this draft, we ask for authority to make technical and conforming amendments. I'll be happy to address any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Any questions of commissioners for Mr. Stepanovich? Any questions for Mr. James? Mr. James, I just have one. Have you seen the blue draft?
I have the draft that was published. I had a copy sent to me, but as far as the blue draft that you might have, I don't know that I've got.
Yeah,
that.
It's you have a agenda document number 14-58-A.
I believe so. I have the draft that one of your staff commissioners or staff members sent to me last night. I assume that, or Tuesday. I assume that that's what you're.
Just my only question: do you have any reaction to the draft you've seen?
The best legal advice I ever got was to quit while you're ahead. I think I'm ahead, so I'm not. Looks good.
Okay, then. Any other questions, comments? Okay. Well, then, Mr. James is ahead, so let's move to a motion.
With respect to advisory opinion request 2014-17, Berkadia, I move that the Commission approve agenda document number 14-58-A and authorize the Office of General Counsel to make any necessary technical and conforming edits.
Okay, the motion is approval on the draft. Any further comment regarding the pending motion? Hearing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed or any abstentions? The motion passes by a vote of 6-0. Mr. James, thank you. Mr. Stepanovich and Mr. Knopp, thank you very much. Okay, item 3 on today's agenda is the Audit Division Recommendation Memorandum on the Joe Walsh for Congress Committee. And let's see, Jim Miller, Kendrick Smith, Susanna Patius, and the audit division are here. And Susanna, are you going to make a presentation?
Thank you, and good morning, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. Before you is the Audit Division's recommendation memorandum for the draft final audit report on the Joe Walsh for Congress Committee, Inc. The draft final audit report was submitted to this committee on July 9, 2014, and the committee's responses, which were received on August 12, 2014, are outlined within the recommendation memo before you, and we will be incorporating them within the proposed final audit report. There are two findings. Finding one, disclosure of occupation and name of employer. The Walsh Committee failed to disclose the occupation name of employer information for contributions from individuals totaling $334,146. In response to the draft final audit report recommendation, the Walsh Committee recently filed amended disclosure reports that materially complied with our recommendation. In finding two, receipt of contribution in excess of limit, we have identified 29 individuals with an apparent excessive contributions totaling $92,325. The Walsh Committee resolved 11,000 of the excessive contributions, but by sending presumptive reattribution or redesignation letters. However, these were resolved untimely. In response to the draft final audit report, the Walsh Committee provided additional reattribution redesignation letters sent to the contributors and resolved an additional amount of $60,125, but also in an untimely manner. The Walsh Committee did not address the remaining excessive contributions totaling $21,200. The excessive contributions are non-curable. We will also be updating the proposed final audit report for changes in Title 52. I trust we're prepared to answer any questions you may have.
Okay, any questions for Susanna? Susanna, I have a couple. And it has to do with the best efforts issue. If I understand correctly, we're looking at $334,146 on a finding of best efforts. And of that, I take it that the committee did maintain records for 88 individuals who made 106 contributions totaling $111,860?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
But they failed to submit the information on their reports on a timely basis?
Correct.
But they've amended since then to provide that?
They have amended in response to our audit, yes.
Yes, okay. And that left $222,286, and there the finding is purely a finding of best efforts that we can't find, or they have not demonstrated sufficiently to us that they engaged in best efforts to obtain that information?
Correct.
Okay. Now, I take it they did have a written policy in place.
They did.
Okay. And they do have form letters that they have shown the auditors that they did on a policy basis send out to people.
Yes.
Okay. And they did represent to the commission that they used best efforts as a matter of practice. They just don't have these records.
Yes.
Okay. And then they, I take it there's no dispute that they had a computer crash.
That's what I said.
Okay. All right. So we got a written policy, We've got form letters that they did send out to, we know, 88 people that they got information back on. To me, there's at least a reasonable inference that they followed their policy and sent those letters out for all people. In addition to this, on many contributors where they didn't have the occupational information, they did put on their reports for many of these entries information requested or information sought. Is that right?
Yes.
Info
yes.
requested?
Yes.
Okay. I guess at some point this is a evidentiary issue of whether or not they have enough to demonstrate to us that they at least exercised best efforts. So I've got memo entries saying info requested on reports. I've got a policy within the campaign that says they do it. I've got evidence that they did follow their policy with regard to 88 individuals for 106 contributions for 111. Why would I assume that they did not use those best efforts for the other 222? And I don't know what the history of percentages is, but when you send those letters back out to people, there's a typical rate where some people do respond and some people don't. Looking at 111 for 88 individuals compared to 222, that's probably close to what you would expect as a general matter. I guess I'm just getting at, it seems to me that there's a reasonable inference that they did use best efforts here. And that they just don't have the documents to prove it right now, but they've got a written policy, they've got form letters, and it looks like this has satisfied at least some commissioners in the past in MERS 5957 and 6031, CECON for Congress. That gives people the benefit of the doubt if they've got a policy and they have the form letters. Yeah. Does that sound familiar at all? Or am I springing that one
on
you?
Mr. Chairman, this is for the Commission to decide. We, as auditors, would like to refrain from assuming a statement from the committee. We documented. However, in absence of any kind of log, any kind of backup file, we just cannot assume. Thus, we report.
Got it. I think that's fair. I think it's a decision for us to decide if we're satisfied that they can show us enough that I can give them a reasonable inference.
Yes.
I think that's the question. Any other questions of other commissioners? Commissioner Peters?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to clarify about the amendments. You say that they did amend the reports with respect to the 88 individuals who made the 106 contributions totaling $111,860. They did ultimately, because when I was looking at their at this draft report, it says, in response to that, the committee did not submit a response to the interim audit report, nor were amended reports filed. But they've done that since this was drafted?
Yes, they have done so on August 15, 2014, in response to our draft final audit report.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, Vice Chair Ramo.
I'd just like to comment with respect to the issues that you raised that clearly in the CFR, when it describes best efforts, the requirement of obtaining that concession by the Commission is that the committee must prove best efforts. It's not for us to have an inference with respect to that. That is something that they must come forward with and show. And I think in this case, what they've done is after we already commenced the audit and they responded, they didn't respond prior, they didn't do that. We didn't have a lot of information, and in some cases we don't still have some of the information. And I also wanted to comment with respect to your, you know, comment in passing about the failure of the computer system, which is clearly set forth in our regulations that say that the Commission will generally conclude that a committee has not met the best efforts standard if the committee's failure to obtain, maintain, or submit information or reports is due to the failure of a committee's computer system. So I think from, you know, my view, the recommendations made by the Audit Division here are appropriate in this case.
Any other questions or comments? Commissioner Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that I agree with the chairman in terms of how I'd approach it in this particular matter. I think that while it does need to be proved, I guess what is the level of proof in this sort of a matter? And I think that the level of proof required probably it's somewhat of a sliding scale relative to the magnitude of the issue, and it's not to downplay the occupation and an employer issue, but. This isn't necessarily the biggest game in town in terms of the subject matter that we regulate. I think that as the chairman pointed out, we do have evidence that they did have a procedure. We know that they had a log of physical letters that they'd obtained in response to letters that they'd sent out. I don't think that that's at all an unreasonable inference to assume that in light of the representations of a destroyed hard drive or computer system that contained the other information, that those letters were sent out to all. And I think so in this case, in terms of the level of proof that I think should be required, I think that they have met that, and so I would agree with the chairman that I don't think that this needs to be the subject of a fining, and would actually think that this would be more appropriately handled in the additional issues section.
Questions, comments, commissioners? Yes, Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think this is a close call. I agree with my colleague. It's not the biggest game in town, but bigger picture, this issue comes up a lot in a lot of different contexts. At what point do we just accept, based on what either an audited committee or a respondent in a MER or in any other in a lot of contexts? At what point do we just accept somebody's word when they said, "Oh, I did comply with the law," if they can't actually document it? I think you Ms. Pesius, were exactly right. As auditors, you require documentation. That's what you do. And I think your recommendation is dead on. You know, if they had supplied an affidavit from someone who was in charge of sending out these letters saying, you know, this was my job, I did it faithfully every time, it was not only a policy, but, you know, I'm willing to say under oath that I did this on a regular and routine basis. That might get me over the edge, but, you know, again, it comes down to when do we just accept a representation that's not under oath and not backed up by documentation, and when don't we? So I think I agree it's a close call in this case, but I agree with the original recommendation of the auditors.
Yeah. Susanna?
Yes.
Were these people told that an affidavit might be an adequate substitute for the lost records?
We ask committee for any kind of documentation, be it a log, any kind of backup file, and they were kind enough to tell us that they will look for that.
Right.
We would have accepted and considered anything they would have provided to us.
Yep. It wouldn't occur to me, sitting where they sit, that, hey, I can fix this with an affidavit. I take it we don't tell them that an affidavit would satisfy commissioners of the evidentiary burden here.
We were not explicit about
right.
calling for affidavit, but we would have considered even a simple log. Here
right.
are the contributors to whom we send the letters.
I'm not questioning. I just want to. They make a representation under penalty of 18 U.S.C. 101. to the government here.
They even know they're making it under the penalty of 18 U.S.A.
I'm just saying that they make a representation here that I accept is accurate. But there, people aren't told, you know, if you just give us an affidavit, that it'll satisfy a couple commissioners on your evidentiary burden. So
it's come up, in, as I said, in a variety of contexts in the past. At what level does the commission accept what people tell us? Because frequently, in a variety of contexts, people say, "Oh, I followed the law. I did it right," and without some kind of documentation, you know, what conclusion does the commission draw? So you draw one conclusion, I draw a different one.
Got it. Any other questions, comments, commissioners? Okay.
Motion.
You want to go with your motion first, or you have a motion?
Well, I think that we should probably maybe just break it up into two different motions with respect to each finding. And I think once the first motion with respect to the first finding, if that doesn't get three votes, I think that automatically goes into additional issues without a further motion. Okay. And then we can do the motion on finding two, which I think will pass 6-0, and then I think
you're
we can
gonna
get
break
it done
by
in
finding?
Those two.
So, do you want me to start?
Are you going to move it by finding?
Yeah.
I didn't know you were going to do that.
I wasn't. So I'll do it. But
if you'll do it by finding.
Okay.
No, I understand.
Okay.
I would just do
let's
finding
bifurcate
one.
Him. I'll start with okay. Finding one. Okay. We agree with finding one. I'm not. And I mean, we they don't. But then finding two, everybody's going to agree. Yeah. Well. Yeah. Well. I don't know. He wants to know if you would agree to. That they failed to disclose and not that, but eliminate the best efforts.
Here was the part. This is true. The problem is if you use best efforts, then I don't think you have a failure to disclose violation.
Yeah.
Because all you're required to do is have best efforts.
Should I? Since we're at an open meeting, maybe we should say this stuff into the mics.
Okay. I'm going to start finding one, and then we can do a big compromise.
Right.
And we all agree to.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to move one first, and then we'll do the compromise where we'll all agree.
Okay.
Okay. Should I?
Please.
Okay. The motion, Madam Secretary. In A13-1, Joe Walsh for Congress, I move approval of agenda document number 14-57-A, finding one of the Audit Division recommendation.
Any questions or comments? Any further debate regarding the pending motion? All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed?
No.
No. The motion fails by a vote of 3-3 with Commissioners Weintraub, Walther, and Ravel voting in favor. Hunter, Peterson, and Goodman voting no. Okay, another motion.
Could I ask a question, Mr. Chairman?
Sure.
With respect to the, 88 individuals where they had the information but did not amend their reports until they saw the draft final audit report that they were going to get dinged for it, is it the position of my colleagues that that still satisfies best efforts?
We'll take a minute recess and I'll come back to answer your question. I got to go get my lifeline.
Amendments with respect to the all 285 contributors, it was only with respect to the 88. Am I correct?
With respect to the 88, yes, that's correct.
Okay, so they amended with respect to the 88. Okay.
So the recommendation is that because they did exercise best efforts with respect to the $111,000, the 88 for 111, they had the information, they failed to disclose it until they amended during the audit.
Correct.
So the recommendation is a finding of failure to disclose there.
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, part of best efforts is, it's not just best efforts to collect the information and then put it in a file drawer. Part of best efforts is best efforts to submit the information to the FEC so we can put it on the public record and it will serve some purpose. It's not supposed to be a backroom conversation between the donors and the committee. So I think that collecting the information is not enough. You have to then amend your reports once you get it.
Assuming you got it.
Well, we know they got it.
We don't know as the 222, but
no,
it's the 111.
No, I'm asking.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you.
Okay.
Okay.
You agree with me, so we will have a finding on that?
I agree with where we land on the 111. So let me take another minute break and confer with Commissioner Peterson.
Okay.
I think our understanding is that the best staff, I believe the audit staff has written it correctly here, that the obligation is best efforts means to obtain, maintain, and submit information. Okay? If you've got the information. So as to the 222, we have no evidence that they actually had the information, but we have evidence satisfactory to three commissioners that they used best efforts to obtain it because they have the written policy, they made the notes, they have an ordinary course of business that they can demonstrate in a lot of other matters, okay? So I believe where that leaves us is with agreement to find a violation of best efforts to obtain, maintain, and submit all three elements because they did obtain, they maintained, but they didn't submit the information as to the 111. And if you want to go back to this language, finding best efforts to obtain, maintain, and submit with respect to language in that language.
In here.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, we work that out?
Yes, that's exactly what, that
okay.
was my point.
Well, at least we have a good meeting of the minds.
Okay.
Okay.
So the motion would be in A13-01, Joe Walsh for Congress, I move approval of agenda document number 14-57A, finding one with respect to the
best efforts to obtain, maintain,
and submit information had not been sufficiently documented for these contributions.
For contributions totaling?
Totaling $111,860.
Is that clear to you? As I know you got it. Do you understand where we're drawing the delineation?
Yes.
Okay.
Can I see the language of the motion?
It's not all written all down. Right. It goes based on...
I can tell you what the concept is, and if we need to refine the language...
No, I know what the think I know what the concept is. I'm not sure that's what I heard in the language.
Okay.
I think they fail to meet the best efforts standard.
Right.
With respect to the information that they had and then did not submit.
Right.
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 So, I understand. And you think it's overbroad because we're saying because they did obtain it and maintain it.
No, that's not my point. I just think that
they failed to submit.
The way I heard that motion, I didn't get that point clearly.
Yeah, it was said, failure to obtain, maintain, and submit information that was not sufficiently documented.
As to the
$111,000.
Okay. Let me try to, Madam Secretary, the motion pending is to approve the audit agenda document. The audit document, and as to respect to finding one, to approve a finding that the committee failed to exercise best efforts to obtain, maintain, and submit the necessary occupation, name, and employer information with respect to $111,860 of contributions. Does audit staff follow me on that?
Yep.
Did I state it accurately?
Yep.
Okay. Alonzo, did I state it accurately? Okay.
Lorenzo,
I'm sorry. Okay.
What about
I'm all
two?
Mixed around here.
And what about finding two?
We'll move to that one next. Oh,
okay.
Do you want to combine it here?
Yeah, let's combine them. And add also with respect to agenda document number 14-57-A, audit division recommendation finding two.
Okay, so we're approving the audit document and with the modification to finding one, and we are adopting voting to adopt finding two as well.
And
yes, ma'am.
With respect to the remainder of the ones where they didn't have documentation, is that being moved to
additional issues?
No, that issue goes to additional as a result of the first motion that split 3-3.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. You're still looking puzzled.
Okay.
I want to make sure
you're
satisfied. Okay.
Yes.
Is that right? Okay. All right. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion passes by a vote of 6-0. Mr. Palmer, are there any management or administrative matters which the commission must address today?
Mr. Chairman, there are no such matters.
Okay, this concludes the open meeting for November 6, 2014. We're going to take about a 15-minute break and come back for an executive session. Thank you.